this work session to order for July 20th. Roll call, Councilmember Otto.
Here.
Hartman.
Here.
Teese.
Here.
Stacy.
Here.
Mayor Evans is also in attendance, as long as city staff as well. Looking for an approval of the agenda.
I'll move on the agenda.
I'll second.
All right, motion made by Hartman, seconded by Otto. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried. Under 3.1, discussion e-bikes, electric scooters, trails, and sidewalks. I'm the one who brought this. I brought this forward because I have had, I don't even know how many, so many people say, what are we going to do and what are we going to do? So, hi, Chief. You're up.
Perfect. All right, so we've had the same amount of complaints that you've had. I hear it in the public. I hear it from the older population. And one of the things that I keep beating the drum on is that we're in the education phase of this. Is it a public safety hazard? Yes, it is. But what we're dealing with is 9 to 13-year-old kids and the first interaction that they have with law enforcement, we're trying to make it a positive one. So every time I see a kid that has a helmet on, I raise my hand, thank you very much. I thank the parents. If I know the kid, I call the parents and say thank you for that. They really appreciate it. The interaction that if we enforce the law to a 9 and a 13-year-old kid, we're issuing a citation to that kid, we're calling their parents, and we're probably taking their e-scooter. That's really negative. So I'm balancing public safety with the interaction with the kids in town. Whenever we see kids, we're stopping them, we're educating them. Officer Gerlnick put on a safety course for the kids, and we're doing what we can in the police side of it. It's just up to the council whether or not you want to have an ordinance that is over and above what state law already has. Do we want to ban e-scooters from the downtown area? Do we want any other ordinance that you want to tighten down the screws on e-scooters, on trails, downtown area? Do you want no bikes in the downtown area? Do you want no e-scooters? It's really up to the council on how much you want to do, or the police department will continue with education. And if it gets to a point where we do need to write a citation after multiple times of talking to a child, we will. Just want to make sure that that interaction is correct, that we're doing the right thing. And as a judge, I mean, I'm sure you would know that the first interaction in the criminal justice system, we need to try and make it a positive one so that it's not continued down the road.
Right.
So that's kind of my conundrum. We're not the only city that's dealing with this. It's there's a lot of cities that are banging their head. I go to chief's meetings across the state, and it's the same thing in every city. Every city's dealing with it. Waconia, I believe, started to enforce it, and they got some media that they were enforcing the law. And whether or not that's effective, there's no reports to say it's effective. So you set the rules, I enforce them.
I prefer to have the police department continue to this is new to us. This is new to these kids. This is a new phenomenon. I like your approach.
Do you mind giving us just a high level of what that education process looks like? Is it structured? Is it more of just a process over time? As you learn more, you teach more? And
so I think it's every time we see a kid that's in violation, we try to stop the kid. We're not throwing on the lights and sirens and getting in a pursuit with this kid. It's just if we can cut him off at an intersection and say, hey, you know, A, you got to wear a helmet, explain to him, you know, the foot scooter, then there's the electric bicycles, and then the e-moto. So e-moto is a completely different animal. We deal with that. If you're on an e-moto, you're probably going to get a ticket. The problem is the electric-assisted bicycle. If someone is using the electric assist on a bicycle and they see the police, they're starting to pedal. And as soon as they pedal, that's a bike. And we go around the corner, they hit the E or the electric part of it, and then they use that. So that's very easy for them to get around us with any kind of enforcement. The motorized foot scooter, you know, you can't have somebody on the back, you have to wear a helmet. There's just things that we're trying to educate. And we're not creating, at this point, we're not creating an incident report, if you will, because that follows the kid. So in interaction with the police, you were warned for this. And that track, it follows the person. So again, we don't want to have a negative interaction with the kids that we're dealing with. And the first interaction would be an ICR, incident report. That would be list their name, they were warned, we called their parents, they're listed there as, you know, for criminal background checks, for anything like that. So it's, this has just become very difficult.
Yeah. And I can appreciate the amount of work you guys are probably having to put into that. Have you seen across other communities similar to Belle Plaine, like any frequency of children getting hit, any really severe injuries? Is it increasing at the rate that you see, like the use of them increasing? Is there a direct correlation?
It's the incidents that make the news. I think Lakeville had a fatal. It's more of the near misses that have me worried. I hear it all over. I almost hit, this kid jumped out in front of me, I didn't see him. It's all these near misses that we're hearing about, and we're trying to get in front of the near miss with education part of it. And a lot of it is, we saw two kids on a scooter, and by the time we get there, they're gone. And it really actually, to be honest, it comes down to the parents in this. And I don't want to say it, but I mean, we don't parent your children. You make them wear a helmet, whether or not they want to go out or not, they wear a helmet, and they have to stop at stop signs. I mean, it's an education part. It needs to start at home. If we're dealing with out on the street, it's not happening at home. So.
Yeah. Okay, so I agree with everything you say. Not always. So I disagree a little bit right now. Because he brought up something about we need to decide where they can go. And that's my concern, is the sidewalks downtown. People are walking out of businesses, and they're flying by fast. And that's my concern. So, now, I'm not saying I don't know that we should put a 12-year-old kid on an e-scooter out in the middle of the road. I don't know what the right answer is, but
you do have an ordinance that says no skateboards in the downtown. And the intent was always, that's why the bike racks were put at the corners of the downtown, is so that bikes weren't downtown either on the sidewalk or the streets. That bikes, if you're coming to the downtown area, you had a place to park your bike and then walk to businesses. So that was an intent, but the ordinance is only specific to skateboards.
So I understand you're going to have not stopping at stop signs, you're going to have almost accidents on the road. And I agree with Chief Steer, that's just education at home. But we have trails. They're flying on our trails. People are walking. They're absolutely cruising. Our trails are nice blacktop. You can go fast. They cruise down. And so I guess I don't know what the right answer is, but I feel like we have to, because I guess even if we say you can't go downtown, and then they are downtown, and then your first interaction with them is still the same thing. So, I don't know. I guess I just don't know. Anybody else?
Well, conflicted on the topic as well. I think you have a tough job, and your department has a tough job, because, to your point, you want that first interaction with the uniform to be a good one, and a positive one. The written warning ran through my head, right? But then what does that look like? Hopefully a phone call to the parents of the kid, I'm going to talk to your parents about this, and hopefully they're more rigid on the helmet and so on. You talked about e-motos, and that's a significant difference, especially when it comes to speed. I believe scooters have different speeds on them. Is there restrictions on that? Is it the statewide or anything like that? Because some of these bad boys are going like 25.
Right. So the max speed on them is 15. It's supposed to be.
Okay.
The issue is that the state laws haven't kept up with the current technology. So, I mean, I know you can change these devices that are max 15 and they can go 25 or 30. It's just a setting that you can change, and parents are setting that, and the kids are getting around it with apps on their phone, and they're going way too fast. There's no question. It's just a matter of, there's a 30-mile-an-hour speed zone. The kid's on this going 30 miles an hour on a scooter. probably shouldn't have a driver's license at that point. I mean, the laws are not keeping up with it at the state level. And as soon as the state changes it, then something else will come out. It was the same with the side-by-sides when they first came out. We couldn't keep up, or the state couldn't keep up with that. The 700, then they went to 1,000, then it was this. It's just, yeah.
What if we put speed limits in certain areas?
I would look at enforcement part of it. Our radars, I don't know if they would pick up a scooter, a laser would, but that's just a matter of, you know, being at the right place in the right time and having the laser out the window and seeing a scooter coming at you and catching it. But then what would the fine be? It would, this wouldn't be a speed citation because it's not a motor vehicle. An ordinance, I mean, an ordinance that you can't go over 10 miles an hour with any of these things. Again, what's the fine?
There's an individual who spoke at public forum today. He had a few suggestions, and I don't want to assume anything. I am assuming something that what his request would be very difficult, and it would cost a lot of money in regards to having them registered with the identifying number and so on. I'm sure that would be a challenge for your department and the city as a whole, and the amount of money that it would take to do would be extensive. Would I be correct in that assumption?
Yeah, so I wrote them down. So e-bike should be registered. And then he said that his example was that if you see an e-bike and then it has a registration number on it, then you can write the number down or call it in. I mean, how big of numbers are we going to put on these things in order so that you can see it when it's going by at 20 miles an hour? Not realistic. Safety training classes, we were doing that as well. And then operator's license for all. I don't know what kind of license we would give them. To say you're okay to drive the whatever. I'm writing down anything that people say, and I'm talking with other chiefs to see what's working, and most cities end up with the education and then enforcement part of it. And that's the current laws that are in place right now. We should be coming up with some sort of tracking mechanism to see, okay, we did deal with, you know, Billy today, we dealt with Joey yesterday, now we're stopping Billy and Joey again. We're at the point where we're gonna call parents and start enforcing. And we can do that.
Just popped in my head, and again, it'd be a complete bogus idea, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Could there be an incentive that we could provide to the youth to have a positive interaction with our law enforcement prior? Or, hey, bring yourself up to the PD, get educated on the proper use of scooters, and we will give you something. Is that something that we can do? Some kind of token?
We did talk about that as well. It used to be that they would give out like Dairy Queen ice cream cones for having a helmet, and that was a function that was put on by the DNR. They no longer do the program due to abuse of the program. So we talked about like gift cards. If we see a kid, we give them a gift card to the coffee shop, but that would have to come out of a completely different fund, which we have access to that. So we're rolling around the idea of doing that. If we see a kid that has a helmet on, here's a gift card, or here's a free ice cream cone to the Dairy Queen, or something. Anything that we can do to work, make it work. I think most of it is just going to be positive interactions with the public. I mean, if you are driving around and you see a kid on an e-scooter with a helmet, it should be a thumbs up out the window, you know? Mm-hmm. And the more positive they see from the public of, okay, awesome, you know, and
this
telling
could be
them that wearing a helmet is cool. You know,
it could be much more of a community effort.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've got kids, I mean, you know where I live, so there's kids flying by there all the time. I've yelled out, not yelled at them, but yelled out to them, you know, you're going too fast.
Yeah.
I mean, without, like, stopping and citation, I mean, do we as a city put out a thing that says, remember, motorized, including e-bikes, are not allowed on trails, not allowed in the downtown area? And then at least put it out there? I mean, without, like, I mean, and then leave it up to you to enforce it, but at least tell them, like, I mean, I know if I saw that and my daughter was like, I knew she rode downtown, I'd be like, hey, stay out of there. I mean, that's what I would say as a parent, but, I mean, I get some people, each parent different, but.
Laws are not advisory.
Do you think that passing an ordinance, whether we choose to enforce strictly or not, provides enough visibility and awareness?
If they pass an ordinance that says no motorized bikes or scooters in the downtown area, by going through that process, we have to publish it, we have to put it out, do you think that that's enough, whether or not you're pulling kids off the road or just stopping and educating them, right? The enforcement side is yours. Mm-hmm. But just by passing an ordinance, do you think that that would have enough of an impact to have people realize this is an issue and we need to talk about it more?
And layering in the existing education that you're doing, layering in potential, you know, handing out gift cards or whatever, you know, awards it may be for doing the right thing. Taking multiple different approaches at the same problem at one time, kind of throwing everything we can at it, because I'm really torn. I think I would be devastated if I sat here today and we did nothing, and tomorrow somebody got hit and killed on a bike, on an e-scooter, and I would feel like we failed. And granted, I totally agree with your perspective as well, that it starts with the parents. It has to be enforced at home first, but as a community, we do as much as we possibly can to protect the kids that are here.
Yeah, I would like to think that everybody in town is watching us have this conversation right now, but I also know that it's not true.
Right.
There's probably 95% of the population that don't know that we have a council meeting tonight, or half of the ordinances that we have in town. So.
Well, and yeah. one of the things that keeps flashing on the screen here is about Tri-County ABATE. Now, ABATE is an organization designed to fight against helmet laws for motorcyclists.
Yeah, right, and they gave us teddy bears, so.
Right.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, it's if you did an outright ban of all e-bikes, e-moto, the whole nine yards, it would take us enforcing that over and over and over again in order to make an impact. You can ban anything you want, but it takes enforcement from us to start stopping these and then taking their e-bikes from them and issue citations. Would it cure the problem? Eventually it would, but it's going to take time.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know that. I like the way you guys are enforcing it now. I'm just wondering if we put a policy out there and publish it and say, hey, this is what we're doing, and put a little bit more on, like, the parents to see it, and then you decide. I mean, you guys have your law enforcement license. You guys are the ones who need to make that call. It's not up to us, but at least us as a city, we're putting out a policy to say no e-bikes in the downtown area, no e-bikes and no scooters on the trail system, you know, and then at least, or, you know, whatever we decide, at least then we're doing a policy to say, this is what we have. I mean, we have no skateboards in downtown. No skateboards. Don't answer this. Who rides a skateboard? I mean, like, legitimately, like.
A lot of really cool kids.
There's no doubt about it, but I don't know when the last time I saw one is. It's been a while. So, I just.
That was what the council at the time was dealing with, was skateboards downtown. And I think they made a valiant effort to say no skateboards downtown. So, if by you saying no e-moto, nothing downtown other than pedestrian traffic, and we sign it and we educate on that, you may see a reduction. There's going to be your outlier every now and then where the kid's going to come from out of town and we'll have to do the same thing. But that, again, that comes into the town as a whole and passing the word through Facebook, social media, whatever, that we ban them in the downtown area. We have to be able to identify the downtown area. Where is that? Is it the same?
It's identified as the central business district. Yeah.
But to the public.
Yeah. Well, we have a map.
I almost feel like that's missing the big issue. The near misses and things like that, that's the biggest issue to me. Like, when we got that notification there was a fatality on 25, that's instantly where my head went. Yep. Some kid got hit, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a prime example of a roadway that there's absolutely no law that we could pass that would have prevented that accident from happening. Right. It was one of those head-scratchers of how. How did this happen? And there's zero chance we could have prevented it.
I hate that intersection. I hate that whole road.
Well, people are crossing where there's no crosswalks all the time. That's terrible.
I think we had that conversation about a crosswalk on that section, and it's not conducive either because then they feel comfortable and like traffic's going to stop for them, and that's not entirely the case. I think your only preventative measure would be put a roundabout towards the bottom of the dang thing, and that's not going to happen. So
maybe we just try to raise awareness, put something in the on the website, put something in the regular bulletin that goes out to addressing parents mostly.
And yeah. About helmets and speed. And it takes time to change behavior.
I think you can change
it. It'll change it overnight. And just making a law doesn't change it overnight.
Right? You guys did a good presentation where you had the chief talk about e-scooters and e-bikes, and I thought it was very well done. It, to your point, though, it just doesn't hit a large mass of individuals. Not everybody's going on to that and watching that on YouTube.
Right.
So how do you get it out there more?
Right.
School starts in about 5-6 weeks. You can go stand in every classroom. No, just kidding.
maybe they'll read about it in the paper.
That's nice of you.
Maybe Rachel Miller will write a column on that.
It could happen.
She's written some pretty good stuff lately.
That's really nice of you to say that we had a good YouTube video. I heard different from other people, but it's really nice of you to say that it was really good. Appreciate that. That's really nice.
Rachel, I loved your thing on bullying. That was great.
Well,
in regards to passing something?
Something. Or
I think parent education is the only way.
Yeah,
you can say everything to the kids, but if they're not going to tell their kids, hey, you need to do this, then it really doesn't matter.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so what does parent education look like? Is that Terry's problem? Or are you guys going to tell them what to do?
You're going to go door to door?
I'm not going to pretend to be an expert in this field.
I like the education. I like that you're handing out tokens or something like that. I don't know if we could publicize a singular event where the kids don't. I think your cops go to the Kids Co. and they do a bike safety. All the kids bring their bikes and it's a big event. But if we could do something like that, where you hit a mass.
Officer Grillin just did that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I have to involve the school. Schools. That'd be cool. Kids are all captive. There.
You could have the council do a presentation on bike safety at the school.
Yeah.
I ain't scared.
Maybe just the mayor.
I ain't scared. I'm there.
Actually, kids terrify me.
we go with you.
I would do it.
We'll go with you.
I would do it.
I'm only going if Luke goes.
I'll support Nate in any way I can.
Okay, so education for adults. Put out a couple of things. Some
it's
advertising.
I don't know that we'll have an answer tonight. Like,
yeah.
It's one of those things that I think is gonna. We'll have to develop ideas. And,
can we
keep addressing the issue like you are?
Yeah.
I'm just gonna keep drowning it out. Are you good then? You guys will talk as staff and come up with some genius ideas. Perfect. All right. On to 3.2, employee breaks. Administrator Meyer.
Mayor and Council, this actually began discussion at the Public Works Committee. There was a concerned resident who came forward regarding an employee break. There was a specific complaint. When that complaint came in to me, I will tell you I did do research, verified the employee was only at their home for the allotted lunch break time. The concern was is that after their lunch break, they went to a place, went to the public works facility rather than back to the wastewater facility and thought that the time was wasted. That specific day, that individual was scheduled for training. So the complaint that came in to Public Works Committee was a concern that certain employees take more break time than they should. Specifically, at that meeting, Public Works was discussed, but after conversation, the committee felt it should come to a work session for council to have discussion should they choose to. So I'll give you a brief overview of how breaks currently work for employees here at the city, and then I will turn it back over for the members that were at the Public Works Committee and council for discussion. I'll start with the police department. That is the easiest one. The police department does not take unpaid breaks because they are on duty, on call at all times. So they don't take an unpaid break for a specified amount of time. They are allotted time to take a break, but again, it's paid based on their duty requirements. Public Works, based on state law, I think I sent this out to everyone, or it's in your memo. State law, every 4 hours, you have to allow 15 minutes for whatever for the break to ensure that they have access to certain things, as well as with an 8-hour shift, it's a half hour that can be unpaid. The 15 minutes is paid. That's what Public Works follows under the law, as stated by federal and state requirements. Currently, Public Works employees are usually deployed out in vehicles within the community. Their 15-minute break is usually taken back at the Public Works shop, so they go there. That's when their break happens. However, they are in their vehicles for the 15-minute break. If something would happen, they are on call and on duty. For the lunch hour break, if they live in city limits, they are allowed to take the city vehicle to their home, have their lunch break, because on the drive to and from their home, they are technically on duty and could be called in if there's any type of an emergency with sewer, water, anything police have called before when they've been on their way home. We do allow them to do that so that we could have them in a response time. That's currently how it's practiced. City staff does not have set 15-minute breaks during the day. They are expected to do what they need to do throughout the day. They are given a half-hour unpaid lunchtime. I can't choose to not take a 15-minute break and then take an hour lunch. It doesn't work that way. You take an hour lunch, you clock out for an hour. Whether I'm eating in the office or if I choose to leave city property. So that is my allotted time, is a half hour. It's unpaid. If supervisor approves that I'm taking additional time off, it is unpaid unless there is a reason that they are at the office for longer hours or would not have been afforded a break sometime throughout the day. And then the supervisor is required to authorize that and to ensure that it's documented. So that's how they're currently handled. Again, the concern came to Public Works, and they felt that it would be a conversation to bring up to the council as a whole. The other complaint about breaks was about a seasonal employee taking long breaks. That seasonal employee was not rehired this year. So when the complaints came to my office, I did do the research. I have verification regarding the two complaints. They are not founded from my standpoint. However, the individual did bring them to the committee because they wanted to ensure that it was discussed there. I'll turn it over for further questions, and I will Also note that the complainant did clarify that the individual they were complaining about, one of the individuals, they have a personal issue with. So I'll turn it back to council for conversation.
Questions, comments, concerns?
Good job.
Sounds pretty standard.
Sounds like you handled it in-house.
Yeah, but the committee did request it come here, so.
Are they requesting action?
Okay, so committee members, let's have it.
Councilmember Otto and Mayor Evans.
Mostly just to get everybody in the loop, really.
Yeah.
That it's somebody's issue, and everybody's in the public eye, well, you know.
And I agree with Councilmember Otto, and it was Councilmember Stacy decided to go on vacation, so I had to fill in for him, so I just really wanted him to know.
You could have called the meeting off because I was going to. I could have Zoomed from Galway.
Yeah.
So if you guys don't have any concerns or questions or comments, I guess then.
No.
No, that, based on my experience as well, at my work, I know that that does follow state law to a T, so I don't know what there is to discuss.
I think, Don, you ran it down perfectly.
Just wanted to let you know what the current practice is. The specific complaint that came in, I met with the supervisor. The employee actually provided photo evidence of break times and... So it was researched. I do take complaints seriously. I follow through on them. So.
Sounds like they were ready to defend themselves.
Sounds like there was a jury trial.
All right. With that, I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Motion made by Stacy, seconded by Hartman. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned.
That was fast.